I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay. But more importantly, this is my second opportunity to get to speak to a wonderful author and a person who's dead set on getting awareness out there on the environment and on animal and plant habitats. She's wonderful. The name of her book is Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction, Diane Brischke. How are you, Diane?
I'm doing pretty good, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Now, off mic, I when I caught you, you said you're making a video for one of your classes, and I asked, you know, for your kindergarten class, and you said no, that you do seminars. Tell us all. What are you doing with a video?
Well, I'm one of the volunteers at our local aquarium, and I do an educational program the third Saturday of each month, and I pick different topics. And one of the topics that I'm going to do in April is the pollution of the oceans. So I'm collecting pictures to put on it. It's called Now and Then. And it's really, it gets me the way the oceans were before. So beautiful and pristine. And now I'm finding pictures of garbage and oil spills and how some of the animals are ending up. They're in the ocean to survive. And there's dumping and trash and oil spills, and the animals are getting caught up in it. And it's really sad because they're dying from it. People are just leaving, the fishermen are leaving their nets, cutting them. And I found a picture of a humpback whale that is so caught up in that net that some of the people have actually taken knives and tried to cut them out. And what's really, what really gets me emotionally is after they get that whale released from that. And sometimes it's a real deal. The whale doesn't fight. It almost like it knows someone's helping them. Once they get that net off, the Nemo back and the whale will swim away, and it gets at a far distance, and it breaches. It jumps out of the water, and that's almost like a thank you for letting me free.
Yeah, it's amazing. They have a language all their own and a body language all their own, and you're right. We take advantage of the negative advantage. We people take advantage of what we have in the natural resources, and you know, thankfully there's people like yourself that are bringing awareness to these issues. You remember off mic after our last interview, I was speaking to you about the bags, the plastic bags, and that sea turtles are mistaking them for jellyfish. They can't tell the difference between a plastic bag and a jellyfish, and they can't digest them. Do you guys have, you know, and when I say you guys, the folks over at the aquarium, do you get any kind of turtles, or are you too inland? Are you near the lakes, right? You're not near the ocean?
We're right on Lake St. Clair and the Detroit River, so it's all fresh water. But we have, we still have our problems with garbage over there. Now we have drainage from the factories, not so much oil spills, but they're dumping the sewage in. And right now we're having a problem with the drinking water and bathing water upstate in Flint. And
big problem. That's a national and international story. Major problem.
A major problem because it's affected the children. And as a teacher, I've worked with children, that not from the water, but the paint off their houses that they're living in. And it does cause problems, brain damage. And people aren't aware of that, or maybe some of the people don't care. And that's hard to digest for anybody.
That's scary, and so many people think that lead poisoning is a problem of the past, or lead paint, but there's still a lot of houses that haven't been painted in a long time, and And children are getting lead poisoning all the time, and I don't think people realize that.
No, I don't, and I really think that some of the legislatures passed the buck.
Yeah, no question. Let me remind folks, if they're just turning on their radio or if they're just tuning into us, this is Frank McKay, but more importantly, Diane Brischke is a wonderful author and activist and has a passion for life, and certainly a passion for sea life and animal life and animal habitats and children. She's a former kindergarten teacher, right? Are you a retired kindergarten teacher, or are you currently teaching?
I was a preschool teacher, which is four-year-olds.
Right. We spoke about that and how much understanding a four-year-old actually has when you start, when you start talking to them about the environment. And you said something that I thought was pretty poignant, that you were showing pictures of certain animals and animals that we know in the wild. And if they chose to, they could be there, or people in their areas certainly can enjoy seeing those beautiful creatures in the wild. But you said, can you imagine one day that you'll show a picture of a polar bear and say, this used to exist. This polar bear used to actually walk the earth. And you're right, a polar bear, may be a thing of the past if we don't do something quickly.
Well, I did a presentation to a class of four-year-olds, and it was just on with animals in the winter. And I brought in the subject of global warming, and I said, because the ice is melting at a fast pace, the polar bears have a hard time swimming to get food. But there has to be a way that we can stop the ice from melting. And one little girl raised her hand. Now, remember, she's 4 years old. And she says, well, maybe we could put a big thing up to block the sun, and then the ice wouldn't melt. Now, that's a four-year-old.
Wow.
And wow. They know what's going on. You know, they watch television. I just thought that was fantastic. I thought it was a good idea.
It's a fantastic idea, and it's their minds are thinking. And, you know, it's a credit to you and to other folks like you trying to bring awareness. And the parents, you know, I imagine her parents have a lot going on upstairs if she's coming up with ideas like that. But the biggest sin is that there are people that are sticking their heads in the sand over global warming and climate change, and there are people that are actually denying that it exists, and that is unbelievable.
And what really gets me is that there are so many people out there that are advocates for the animals, that they see something going wrong and that it shouldn't happen, and a lot of it is taking animals out of the ocean and bring them into, let me go back and say,
sure.
I was online and I get a news update from PETA, and they have been trying for years to get SeaWorld to drop their orca programs. And the email that I got the other day said they succeeded. They are not SeaWorld is not going to have a breeding program anymore with their orcas. They are going to put them in larger tanks. Now, these animals cannot be put back in the wild because some of them were born in captivity.
Yeah, they wouldn't survive. They wouldn't survive.
Right, and they couldn't survive. The calves are taught by their mothers, and they're with their mothers up to 2 years. Now, my personal objection to animal shows like that is they'll come out and they'll say, we're not teaching them tricks. These are things that they would do in a while. Well, I've seen a lot of television shows on orcas, and not one of them has ever breached out of the water and touched a big ball.
Well, kiss somebody waiting on the side.
Right, and also, jumping up, and I can touch his tongue and look at his teeth. And the one thing that got me is that some of these, well, I would say most of these animals know what's going on. And people ignore that. And, you know, I always hate to bring up negative things, but I don't know if you remember, but years ago, one of the trainers was killed.
There's been a couple of them.
And the girl, the first girl that was killed, was wearing a black wetsuit. Now, one of the food sources for orcas are seals. And the natural instinct, I mean, people want to get wild animals as pets, but they and train them to sit up and all of this stuff. I don't realize they're still wild animals, and their instincts are going to kick in.
Yeah, and then somehow people will act as if that whale has gone bad. Something. It's just like in the tigers in... You remember who were the two magicians, Siegfried and Roy, and the tiger attacked them at one point. Well, I don't know. I mean, and maybe that should tell us. Maybe that should tell us that that tigers weren't made to put on funny outfits and everything else. You know, you leave them in the wild. And again, I'm not against, you know, circuses per se. You know, if they're performers and they're human based and everything else, but when you start getting into a situation, and there's a comedian, he can get very harsh at times, Chris Rock, and he said it threw him for a loop when they said the tiger went crazy. He said the tiger didn't go crazy. The tiger went tiger. That's what a tiger would react like in the wild. And they're trying to make how bad this tiger was for attacking the person. And by no means do I want to see anybody get hurt, or that trainer at SeaWorld. I doubt very much that that she was abusing the animals anyway. But you're right. I mean, right. The natural instincts kick in. Let me remind everybody once again, Diane Briskey is our very special guest. And this is Frank McKay. But more importantly, Diane Briskey is the author of Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. And she is just a wonderful author, and she is an activist trying to make people aware of some things that need to be made pointed out, and certainly the way we're treating the environment and the wildlife and the plant life. Diane, go ahead. You were going to say something.
One of the biggest problems now is the importing of animals, and sites is the... I believe it's the Center for International Trading of Endangered Species. Now, in some of the countries, they are crating up birds and reptiles, and somehow they're getting them into the country. But what people don't realize is when they open those crates, the bottom layer of parrots and parakeets and cockatoos, those animals are dead because they don't have air. Now, I know there was one preserve out west where a man had imported a lot of reptiles. And there was an underground investigator that was working there. And when he got enough proof, he went to the organization. And there, I know for a fact that some of the keepers from our zoo went there and saw the horrendous living that these animals had, and they went to Kmart's and Target, any place they could buy Rubbermaid tubs, and they had frogs in pop bottles. They had them in boxes where there was no air, and they did nothing but take these reptiles and put them where they could swim or crawl. And some of them went to other zoos. They also had wild animals, like coatimundis and some monkeys. And there were zoos that said, we'll take them. Now, I'm all for that. They may not be in the wild, but they're living a good life. Because all of the zoos, I'm not going to say exactly all of the zoos, but they are making the habitats the same as these animals would have in the wild.
It's gotten much better. It's because of activists like yourself. And
right,
yeah, that's
right.
Why they didn't do that on their own. they did that because
they
got pressure.
They didn't, but and a lot of people say, oh, they should be in the wild. Well, look at the tigers. I mean, they're still being killed for medicine.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking the religion. They may believe that this actually works. But you're killing an animal that, they'll probably, they use every part of the organ. I'm sure that the pelts are sold somewhere. And now, I'm not going to name the country, shark fin soup is wild over there. I don't know how delicious it is because I won't eat it. But they are killing the sharks, cutting the fins, and I don't know what they do with the rest of the body.
Can you imagine?
That's over-harvesting. And the same country is killing whales in international waters where they shouldn't be. And my sister and I used to go out to Cape Cod every summer, and we would go on a whale watch, and that's mostly where minke and humpback whales are. So I got a chance to see them in the wild. Now, the advocates that are against this particular country for still whaling. Now, last year alone, they took 1,300 whales. And there were advocates that were going in the marketplace because they were selling the meat. Now, they couldn't bring samples back because of the international boundaries. Now, when we went to Cape Cod, and we just saw some remarkable things. These animals are just so gorgeous up close. The man who was giving the tour said, well, there are people that are out there still whaling under the guise of scientific research. And at that time, the research was a whale weighs the same alive as it does dead. I don't know what that has to do with science, but it's profit.
You know, they could wait. They could wait for one to wash up. It happens all the time. In fact, I brought my children to see a beached whale, and that had perished, unfortunately. It was there was no way to save it or whatever. And it's they're and more magnificent creatures up close. But there are enough beach whales where if they want to find out how much they weigh, that's outrageous. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
So you're gonna kill it, so you could see how much it weighs. Just horrible. It's poaching is what it is. I mean, let's
yeah. Go technically, that is it's poaching, nobody is holding them responsible for that. Of course, it's a country that the United States doesn't want to make mad. But and it's not just the Asian area, it's in Africa too. A lot of the people over there, they're in a impoverished condition. And they will take some of these animals and sell them to private collectors just for the money to survive on. And, I mean, I'm not against that, but when it comes down to taking an animal out of its natural habitat just to get money for somebody to show off, oh, I have an orangutan, I just don't go for that.
I don't either. It's just, and none of us should. Another reminder, we have about 2 minutes left with Diane Brisky, and she is just a fantastic advocate. An activist and an author, the three A's, and very, very important. The name of her book is Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. Frank McKay here. Diane, do you have any aspirations to do a follow-up on your book?
I am hoping to eventually do something on marine life and the oceans. And it isn't, I just want to tell you, Frank, it isn't just the oceans. It's any water. ponds, because they all have lice in them. And the one man that I really admire the most was Jacques Cousteau.
Oh, amazing man!
And,
amazing.
Yes, one of his comments was, "To live on the land, we must learn from the sea."
Mm, that's wonderful.
And I thought that was very poignant, because it's true. All of the destruction on the land is now moving into the sea, and some of those animals are. They call them the threatened now, which means they could be moving up in the future if something's not done.
People have to
be held responsible.
It's horrible. How is Lake St. Clair, that's your closest lake there, how does it stand out as far as the pollution levels?
Not so bad. Our DNR goes out and takes samples. People are always out there fishing.
Yeah.
In fact, we have canals on Belle Isle where I volunteer, and the people are out there fishing. I personally wouldn't eat anything that comes out of the rivers.
Right.
I used to be an angler, but I gave that up when I started realizing that these animals, fish, reptiles, they need to be where they belong. It's not, and I know I'm probably going to, you're going to get a lot of mail about this, but I mean, that's just how I feel.
Hey, everyone knows your heart's in the right place. That's what matters.
That's right, yeah.
Well, listen, I know they'll never outlaw fishing or hunting,
right.
And my take on it is, look, if you're going to do it, don't go anywhere near endangered wildlife, and certainly don't do anything to harm the animals. I mean, as far as sport goes, that I never understand. Just to fish, so you could plaster it up on your wall to take it,
right.
Make its life short.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Nor does big game hunting. We're out of time, unfortunately, with Diane Brischke. She is. Oh, honestly, you are fastly becoming one of my favorite people in the world. You are terrific.
Good.
You are terrific. The name of the book is Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. Frank McKay here. Diane, do you have a website or a social media site? Anything that people
can
do?
They can go to dianebrischke.com, and they'll see my book on there, and I believe that they can open some of the pages to see what it's about. And like I mentioned the last time, I am by no means an expert. I'm just somebody that really cares, because I want to see the children have a future.
You know a thing or two about the environment, that's for sure. You're very modest, and you may not be an expert, but whatever you lack in expertise, you make up for in passion. Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Same here, Diane, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Frank McKay here, but more importantly, Diane Brischke is just a fantastic author. Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction, and she is an activist, and just everyone should follow her steps. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.